Yet that night was the worst. The cold was cruel, and my naked body could take no warmth from the remains of the elk hide. All night long I shivered, teeth chattering beside the fire that ate fuel like a famished beast, so that I almost never ceased from the hunting of it. Wild and weird were the snow-covered peaks around me, dark the gorge where I shuddered over my fire, the cold seeping through my bones, stiffening my muscles. A wind, cold and raw, came down the canyon, blowing my fire and robbing my body of the little warmth it had. The night seemed to stretch on forever. Once I slept, awakening to find the wind gone, but my fire down to a few tiny coals, and with effort I nursed it back into flame. Something padded in the brush out there, so I built my fire higher and kept my club and my stone knife closer. How many men had crouched beside such fires in the years gone by, with no more weapons than I had? At last the dawn came, cold and bleak, and I could see where wood lay without blundering through the brush. I built up my fire, then took the hide and cut a piece big enough for fresh moccasins. I buried the piece in the ground nearby to make it soft and pliable for the work to come. I found some chickweed tubers and ate them and ate the last of the elk meat, throwing the few bones into the brush. Hobbling up on the slope, I looked the country over with care. Now, in most places, a man can live if he knows something of plants and animals, and if he will take time enough to think things out. It is a man's brain that has removed him from the animals, and it is man's brain that will let him survive, if he takes time to think. First, I needed a weapon. Second, I must have shelter and clothing. So I stood there, studying the land to see what it offered. The canyon had high, rocky sides with forest climbing to the crest. There was a stream in the bottom of the gorge with willows around it, and a good bit of grass and some brush. On the ground, not 20 feet away, lay a well-seasoned branch fallen from a tree. By breaking off the small branches, I could fix an obsidian point on it and have a lance. The bushy-looking trees with scaly twigs and leaves, kind of silvery in the sunlight, were buffalo berry. The Indians used to collect them to flavor buffalo or antelope meat. There were some wild roses there, too, and I could see the red of some rose hips. There was plenty of deer sign along the stream, and I might have time to make a bow and some arrows. Limping down to the buffalo berry bushes, I started eating them, pits and all. I topped them off with some rose hips. They weren't any banquet, but they would keep me alive, if no Indians found me. This was Ute country, but both the Navajo and the Apache came here also. And, of course, there was the wolf.